Good morning, church family. So good to be with you on Easter Sunday morning. This has to be one of my favorite Sundays throughout the calendar, the yearly calendar, because Jesus is alive. If we have to think about the disciples on Saturday after Jesus had been crucified on the Friday, can you imagine their disillusionment? Can you imagine their hopelessness? Can you imagine what would have gone through their minds on that Saturday morning? That their Savior, their Deliverer, the one that they'd put all their hope, the one who they'd followed for 3.5 years of their lives, being crucified and now in a tomb, and there was a stone in front of that tomb. And maybe you too have woken up this morning feeling like there is no hope, feeling like I don't know what's going to happen with my future, what's going to happen with this coronavirus. Maybe you too have woken up with a sense of dread in your heart. But like them, we didn't know that Sunday is coming, that there is no death that could defeat our Savior, that our Savior has the name that is above every other name. Our Savior is the one who has risen from the dead and conquered the very last enemy, even the enemy of death. Jesus is the one who has conquered everything on our behalf, and there is no grave that could keep him down. And because of that, we always have a hope for the future. And I want to just share a couple of things with you this morning, 5 or 6 points on the hope we have because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection, our first point this morning is that we can know that it's not over until he says that it's over. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In Romans 6, verses 7 to 9, it says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, because of this resurrection, we can always have hope. It says it this way in the Amplified. It says, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This means that everybody gets a fresh start. Everybody gets a mulligan because of the resurrection. Because we have hope in the everlasting mercy of God, we can know that we get a fresh start. And there is a fresh start for you. Even after this coronavirus, do not lose hope. We have a merciful God who is for us and he is with us. It says, because of the resurrection in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, he was raised and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So right now, Jesus Christ is interceding for you because he rose from the dead. My second point is because of the resurrection, we have new life in him. I don't have to live my life looking at the past, thinking that my past has a hold on my future. No, because of the resurrection, I have new life in him. In Colossians 3, in verses 1 to 3 in the Passion Translation, it says it this way. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Think that he's saying that you were included in that. And his authority, his honor, his power is your authority, your honor, your power. He goes on, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. You know, we can get so distracted by what's happening in this natural realm, by what's happening with this coronavirus, by what's happening in the world around us. But the Bible's saying here that we need to fill our thoughts with the heavenly realities. What has happened in the heavenly realm? When Jesus, the last words out of his mouth, when he hung upon the cross, he said, "It is finished." We need to be filling our thoughts with heavenly realities. He goes on in verse 3, he says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying that your old life has been severed because you now have a new life in Christ, which means my old feelings, my old way of doing things. He's saying that all of those things that used to dictate to us have now been severed, and we now have a new life in Christ because of his resurrection power. In Ephesians 2 verse 6, in the Amplified Bible, it says it this way, "And he raised us up together with him, and he has made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Notice what he's saying. He said he has made us sit together with him. He's talking about being at a place of rest, being seated together with him, knowing that he has done everything on our behalf. And we can enter into this place of complete rest, knowing that our future is secure in the hands of God. The third point I want to make because of his resurrection is that we have been born again after a new seed. I like the way it says it in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. It says we have been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In the Amplified, it says it this way. You have been regenerated. You have been born again, not from a mortal origin seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting word of God. Notice he's saying that we've been born again after his seed. You know, there has been something from the beginning of time. It says that every seed shall regenerate after its own seed, which is showing that we have not been born from monkeys. No, monkeys have a seed, and monkeys are born after their own seed. And you and I have been born again by the seed of God. I know that there are some people who act like monkeys, but I want to let you know they are not from monkeys. And because of Adam, we were born in the likeness of his seed, the likeness of sin. But because of Jesus, we have been born again by an incorruptible seed, because I now bear his image, because I've been born again after him. You and I can choose which state we want to live in. You know, my daughter Hannah, she did not have a choice as to where she would be born. So she was born in a hospital in Gauteng. So she did not have the choice as to where she would be born. But there comes a time in her life where she's going to choose which state she's going to live in. And you and I, even though we could not choose where we were born from, that we were born in Adam, we can choose which state we're going to live in. I can either live under the influence of Adam and sin and death, or I can live in a new state. I can live under the state of righteousness because of Jesus. Because he has been raised from the dead and I've been included in that, I can now choose where I want to live. I couldn't choose where I was born, but I can choose where I want to live. And the encouragement that we have in Romans chapter 5 is that because of Adam's sin, many have sinned. But because of Jesus and what he has done, I can now live under the influence of a new seed, and that is the seed of Jesus Christ. I can choose to be under the influence of righteousness. Jesus Christ has moved us into a new state, and I can come under a new influence because of the resurrection. My next point is, because of the resurrection, the Bible says that you and I are now united with Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, from verses 20, he says it this way, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming." The Bible says that you and I, now our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's like me taking a tea bag and placing it in hot water. Once I put that tea bag into hot water, that tea bag infuses with the water. And that is what we call tea. We don't call it a tea bag. We don't call it hot water. We now call it tea. We can then take that tea bag out of that tea and we can throw it into the dustbin. But what remains is tea. That is talking about you and I identifying with Jesus Christ. And what is so wonderful about that tea is that when that tea bag is out, you cannot differentiate between where the tea bag left and where it started and where the hot water began and where the hot water started. No, it is now called tea. And what is wonderful is that tea bag was thrown in the bin, but it was raised on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of God. And now when God looks at you and I, because we are united with Christ, he looks at us and he says, tea, because you cannot separate who I am from where Jesus is and where Jesus is and where I am. We have become one. We are united with Christ because of the resurrection. The next point I want to make is because of the resurrection, we can cry out to God and call him Father. I love the way it says it in the message in Romans 8 verses 15 to 16. It says it this way. This resurrection life you have received from God is not a timid grave tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. He's saying because of the scripture, because of the resurrection life, you don't have to fear for your tomorrow. He's saying that we can have an expectancy in our hearts, saying, what's next, Papa? We know that we are on this adventure with God, that we belong to him, that he is for us, that he is with us, that he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You do not have to worry about what's going to happen in the next month or months to come, because you have a heavenly Father who is for you. He's never going to let you down, and you can place your confidence and your trust in him because he loves you. His Son has risen from the dead, and that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. The next point that I want to leave with you this morning is because of the resurrection, we have peace with God. Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. And God is so satisfied with the work that Jesus did. And he has given us peace. He has given us a covenant of peace. And there is nothing that can ever change what God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ. I love the scripture in John chapter 20. It says it this way in the Passion. That evening, the disciples gathered together. And because they were afraid of reprisals from the Jewish leaders, they had locked the doors to the place where they met. But suddenly Jesus appeared among them and said, peace to you. And then he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side. And they were overjoyed to see the Lord with their own eyes. Jesus repeated his greeting, peace to you. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I'm now sending you. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, because of the blood of the cross, has made peace with you. You don't have to have any anxiety. You don't have to have any stress. You don't have to have any worry about the future because God is at peace with you. God does not live in time like you and I. He lives in a place of infinity, of eternity, and you and I can access the peace of God, the peace of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross, the peace that we have because of the covenant that God has now made with his Son, Jesus Christ. The word Irene means, or the word Irene here is the word peace. It means to join. It means to be at one. It means quietness and rest. It means to set at one again. This is the peace that God has given you and I, that we have been set at one with our living Father because of the resurrection. In John 17, verses 22, it says this, Jesus speaking, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. He's talking about being at one, being in union, to being at one accord with God himself because of the resurrection. When Jesus was talking about being in one accord, he's talking about the word concord, which actually means a state in which people or things agree with each other and exist together in a peaceful way. To think that right now God is existing with you in a peaceful way. God is at peace with you because of the resurrection. God loves you. God loves to hang out with you. God wants to whisper in your ear, even while we are at home and you have time on your hands. Allow God to whisper things into your ear and to remind you of who you are and the future that you have. I'm going to close this morning with Zephaniah 3 verse 17 in the Amplified Version. He says it this way: "The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing." My friend, God himself is exulting over you with singing. He is dancing over you. He is rejoicing over you because of what Jesus Christ has done. He is not making mention of your sins, your past sins. He is not even going to recall them and remind you of those things, because those were placed upon Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And those sins could not hold him in the grave. Jesus Christ has been born again. The Bible is saying he is the firstborn among many brethren. You know, in the old covenant, people lived for the blessing of their father, especially the firstborn. You remember Isaac? You remember he blessed his two sons, Jacob and Esau, and they fought over that blessing of the father? I want to let you know this morning that God has blessed his son, Jesus Christ, being the firstborn among many brethren. And the Bible says that you and I are now included in Christ because of the resurrection. And you have the firstborn blessing because of Jesus Christ. You can live with this expectation that no matter what happens in this world, no matter what tribulations we might experience, no matter what trials we go through, we have an expectation of the resurrection power of God that dwells within us. And we can live with this expectation that our lives go from strength to strength, honor to honor, glory to glory, because of the resurrection power of God that dwells within us. That we live under the firstborn blessing because Jesus Christ has accomplished all of the work on our behalf. He rose from the dead on the third day, and we can boldly declare Jesus Christ is alive, and we can live under the influence and the state of righteousness now, because Jesus has given us righteousness as his wonderful gift, that we can live with a state of peace, knowing that God is at peace with us because of what Christ has done for us, that we can live with a sense of expectancy of a great future because Jesus is risen from the dead, and that we can boldly declare, we can boldly sing that God is exalting over us, that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for us, and we can live with an expectation that he is alive forevermore. You can have hope this morning because Jesus, the resurrection and the life, lives inside of you. As you begin to ponder on Jesus, the one who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who is dead but is alive forevermore, I want you to live with an expectation that Jesus Christ is alive within you, that you've been made one with him. Do not stress, do not worry, do not have fear about the future, because the one who created it all lives inside of you. God bless you, my friends. Jesus is alive and he lives within you. We so look forward to being with you again. Hang in there. Get connected via Zoom. Please remember that God is always for you and is exalting over you. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God, and we are praying for you. God bless you.